know that it's a little bit late. And I'll try to hurry just as fast as I can. But the Lord has given me something. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord gave me this. The third chapter of Mark, beginning at the first verse. And he entered again into the synagogue. There was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for their hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. You all may be seated. Praise the Lord. At this time, I'd like for us to imagine ourselves right before that this has happened. This is a Sabbath day. And Jesus is on his way to the temple to teach. And I imagine that the church house is rapidly filling up. You see, Jesus, they probably thought maybe he would tell them about the born-again experience. Maybe he would preach or teach something else. And anyway, they were excited, and they wanted to get to the house of God to see what was going to happen. Soon the service would be starting. And oh, what a service it was going to be. You see, Jesus was approaching the synagogue. And he knew what he must do. He was going there with a purpose. And he had an appointed time and a place to heal a man that had a withered hand. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. You see, there was a lot of people that was watching Jesus. They was wanting to find out what he was going to do. Now I want us to take a picture of the man with the withered hand. I want to ask the young people tonight, what is wrong with a withered hand? The answer is very simple. A withered hand cannot hold an object. It cannot do what it was created to do because it had become useless. It had become paralyzed. It was incapable. It was limited. It was powerless. It was withered. It was shriveled up, and it was dried up. And these words that I have described this hand with, if we let the devil attack us, we can become as a man's withered hand. We can become paralyzed and useless and limited, and we can lose our freshness and our vigor and our zeal that the Lord has given us. And this man, in this condition with a withered hand, no doubt there have been times in his life that he was ashamed and confused because he could not work and provide the way that he should. You see, in this period of time, in the Jewish society, you had to have both of your hands in order to work. If you was a carpenter, you had to use both hands in order to do your job. If you was a farmer, you had to have the use of your hands. And this man had been deprived of his livelihood to do a work. And that's what the devil will do to us if we let him attack us. If we let him talk to us, he can render us useless spiritually for the kingdom of God. I want you to know that the devil is organized. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians 6 and 2. Ephesians 6 and 2 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I want you to know tonight that the devil is organized. It tells us in the book of Daniel, the angel of the Lord was trying to get to Daniel, and the angel of the Lord told Daniel, and said, "The prince of this city had detained me." There are princes over cities.
Yes, sir.
There are forces, and I believe the devil has him set up as the military would be set up. I believe that the military, it's a governmental mentality. And he is out to destroy us. He's out to cause us to destruct if he can. 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us to be sober and to be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, your enemy, the one that wants to destroy you, young person, the one that would like to get a hold of you and put you into the world and make you nothing. Because without the Lord, ye can't do nothing. You can't do anything without God.
Make a mess out of yourself. Go on.
I remember a young lady that came to our church. This didn't happen just very long ago. She was trying to find God in her life. And she was cruising around to some of these other churches.
Yeah, stay here.
And she come right down here, and she stood right at this altar. Uh-huh. And she received the Holy Ghost. Uh-huh. She spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And she went back out the doors. And she kept on cruising. And one day, her mind snapped. She started telling people. She said, "I own this place." She said, "I can tell you what to do. I'm the boss." And she wasn't the boss. Her mind snapped. I want you to know something. You have an adversary. You have somebody that wants to destroy your soul. He wants to devour you. He wants to cause you to become useless and powerless. Hallelujah. He wants to render you useless for the work of God. Young person, I love you. Church, I love you. Lord, pray and don't let the devil render you useless. Don't let him get your power. Don't let him steal your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because if he can render you useless, he will. God's not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion. I want you to know something. If your life's confused, God is not the author of it. My friend, if there's confusion in your life, Jesus Christ is not the author of it. Psalms 22:4-5 tells us, says that our fathers trusted in thee, talking about the Lord.
Yes, sir.
They trusted and thou didst deliver them. We need to trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to put everything we have, all of our might, and give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and they were not confounded. You trust in the Lord and you're not going to be confused. You're not going to be confounded. The devil's not going to let you mumble, grumble around. He's not going to let you grump. But old friend, he's going to help you. I think of a story that I read about a woman. She had this dream continually. She came up to a mountain, and she would look over to the side of the mountain, and she would begin to fall. And she kept having this dream. And when she would fall, she would grab a hold of this branch that was implanted into the side of the mountain. And she would look around, and the Lord was behind her. And the Lord would say, "Let go. Trust in me.
Right.
And I will save you, and you will not be crushed." And she kept having this dream. And she couldn't let go of the tree branch. And that's the way sometimes we are. We get out in the world, we get a hold of something, and we can't let go of it.
Yeah. And it destroys us.
Yes, sir.
And she made up her mind one night before that she went to bed. She said, "If I had this dream," she said, "I've already made up my mind that I'm going to let go of that branch. I'm going to find out what's going to happen." And she had the dream that night. And she did the very same thing she did before. She grabbed a hold of the tree branch. But she made up her mind she was going to let go. And when she let go, the Lord took a hold of her hand. And he saved her.
Amen.
And he kept her from being crushed. And that's the way that we need to do. Young person, I know this world has a lot to offer, but Jesus Christ has a lot more.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has a lot more. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know something. If you're trusting in the Lord, then you're going to submit yourselves to God. And when you submit yourself, you're going to resist the devil. When you're trusting in him, you're sure not trusting in the devil. And when you submit yourself, you're not trusting the devil, but you're trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you're trusting in God, you're resisting the devil. And when you resist him, he's got to run from you. He's got to flee. That's a promise right out of the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when he comes up against you, stand up against him.
Right.
Trust in the Lord.
Right.
And resist him.
Right.
And he'll have to go from you. We need to trust in the Lord.
That's God. We need to stand up.
Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Young person, you can do all things through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's nothing you can't do unless you ask the mist And if you're trusting in the Lord, you're not going to ask to miss. Hallelujah, you can do all things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no problem too big or too small that Jesus cannot take care of for you. Hallelujah. We can live a victorious life. We can overcome. You know, if we overcome down here, we have an inheritance up there. Young person, if you ever come down here, you're going to have an inheritance up there. Praise God. You have a responsibility. Not only that, but you have authority to overcome. And you need to use it. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things.
Help us to believe.
Not just part of it. Not just one half, one third, one fourth, one sixteenth. All of it belongs to us. All things are possible. Jesus said, in my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. Power, authority,
right,
to tread upon serpents and scorpions.
Yes, sir.
I believe a serpent is somebody that hisses out at the church.
Tell it. Man, I like that.
And a scorpion is somebody that tries to, when a scorpion stings you, it can kill you almost instantaneously.
That's good preaching, man. Don't even slow down.
And we have power to tread upon that.
Amen.
And over all the power of the enemy. You've got all power over the enemy. Not just one half, one quarter, one sixteenth. All power. All of it. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I want you to know something. I believe that we've been letting the devil lie to us. The devil can't attack us. The devil can't attack us. Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to know something. Gates are for a defense. Think about it. The church is supposed to be attacking the devil, not the devil attacking the church.
That's good preaching, man. That's exactly what that scripture means.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was saying to the church, it's the time to be on the attack against the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
Good preaching.
We got power to knock those gates down. Jesus delegated that power to us. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall receive power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not just a little bit of it. All of it. I want you to know something. Jesus didn't stop and pray for anybody. He spoke it. You talk about the demonic man. He had a legion of demons in him. A legion means between 3,000 and 6,000. And Jesus cast at least 2,000 out, because there was 2,000 swine that the demons went into. And he spoke one word and they flee. Jesus used his authority.
Amen.
And he delegated it to us.
Amen.
So that we could use it.
It's all
quiet when we believe, Brother Austin.
To tread upon the devil. To knock him down. Hallelujah. John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. I want you to know something, friend. Jesus spoke to the man with the withered hand. You see, his hand was withered. He told him to stand forth. And that's the way we need to do today. You see, the man with the withered hand represented the disease called sin.
Right.
And Jesus told him to stand forth. And that's what we need to do today. Sin needs to stand forth. And the man listened to him that had the withered hand. Praise the Lord. And after that sin stood forth, Jesus said unto him, Man, stretch forth thy hand. It wasn't healed yet, but the man with the withered hand put forth his hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was restored whole as the other. You know, young people, there's a lot of times that I sit on the platform and you probably think, well, Brother Hoskins, he's just up there sitting. He doesn't even know what's going on. But I've seen some of our young people that have been withered. I've seen one young person sit right here on the front row. And if I could bend and do the contortion that she did that night to keep from going to the altar and being made whole, I would try to do it. But I don't think I could. And she was withered. She was rendered useless. She was limited. She was powerless. But I want you to know something. You don't have to be that way. Because what I preached about tonight come right out of the Word of God. And that's the way God wants it to be. I don't want anybody to be withered. I don't want anybody to be useless. I don't want anybody to have their Holy Ghost power removed from their lives. Because Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I'd like for us all to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for us just to raise our hands and worship the Lord just for a few minutes tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.